This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm Kim Johnson, in for David Martin Davies. Father's Day is this Sunday, and today we're talking about fatherhood. Psychological research across families from all ethnic backgrounds suggests that fathers' affection and increased family involvement help promote children's social and emotional development. What does it mean to be a good dad, and how do you learn to be one? What advice do you have for fathers? This is a community conversation, and we want to hear from you. If you have a question, comment, or story to tell us, give us a call, 210-614-8980. That's 210-614-8980. You can also email thesource at tpr.org or tweet at us at tprsource. We're joined this hour by Martin Henderson. He's the Executive Director of Fatherhood Matters, Inc. here in San Antonio. Thanks for being here, Martin.
Thank you for having me.
Also in the studio, we have Greg Marshall, Program Manager for the San Antonio Fatherhood Campaign. Thanks for being here, Greg.
Thank you.
And on the line, we have Professor James Bray. He's the Chair of the Psychology Department at the University of Texas at San Antonio, and he also maintains a clinical practice focusing on families. Thanks for being here, Dr. Bray.
Thank you for having me.
And just a reminder to our listeners that you are also invited to join the conversation. Just give us a call, 210-614-8980. And today, what I want to get into first with you, Professor Bray, is the changing role of fatherhood. So changing economic and social trends in recent decades have greatly impacted the role of fathers. When we think about the historical father archetype, you know, we think head of family, sole breadwinner, primary disciplinarian, less emotionally available maybe. But with the changing role of women in today's workforce, today's fathers have started to take on roles that are vastly different from previous generations. And I wanted to ask you, how is modern fatherhood breaking gender stereotypes, re-scripting parental roles?
So because of the changes that you mentioned, men are able to engage in lots of different kinds of fathering. So we still have people who do the traditional fathering where they are the primary breadwinner and they interact with the kids less than the mom does. And then we have the other end of the spectrum where dads are now staying home and they're the primary parent for the children and the mom is out there working and being the primary breadwinner for the family. And then we have everything in between. What's really clear though, as you pointed out, is that having fathers active and involved with their children is very positive, and it's also very important for the children's development and ultimate success in life.
Yeah, I have here dads are much more involved in childcare than they were 50 years ago. Some Pew research that came out yesterday said that in 2016, fathers reported spending an average of 8 hours a week on childcare, which is about triple the amount of time they provided in 1965. So what are some of the benefits to parents becoming more active partners in raising their children?
So several of the benefits include being able to share household tasks more. So that benefits men and women. It benefits the women in that they have somebody to help them. It benefits the men in that they get more engaged with their children. They can have more rich and varied and deep relationships with their kids and be more connected in a variety of ways.
And I want to talk to you, Martin and Greg, just a little bit about the programs that you run here in San Antonio. If you just tell us, how do you serve fathers in the community here? Martin, you can start.
Yes, thank you once again for having me, Kim, and having us. Well, Fatherhood Matters, Inc., we've been around for 7 years now, and we serve families and fathers. One of the ways is through paternity tests, and that was one of the things that Fatherhood Matters, we deemed necessary years ago because we know that in today's society, unfortunately, that circumstances and situations make it hard for men to know if they're actually the father. And we know that once you do know for sure that you're a dad, you will provide, you will do some things. And we wanted to assist with that. We also have parenting classes. We teach what is called the Parent Project. That's a curriculum we offer. And we also offer support groups for dads.
Very cool. And what about you, Greg?
So I'm a single father. I have three wonderful kids. I'm raising a 14-year-old son, a 12-year-old daughter, and a 9-year-old son. And I have the honor of being with them almost every day. I get them up for school. I take them to school, and with summer vacation, it's summer camp right now. And then, you know, we do our afternoon stuff. So the Fatherhood Campaign has really kind of opened my eyes to the wide variety of responsibilities and opportunities to really come to the tables and create that relationship with my children. It's not about raising children today, but it's about raising those adults for tomorrow and teaching them. And that's what the Fatherhood Campaign does. We offer classes, mentoring, one-on-one counseling, you know, but it's kind of filling in those gaps, because a lot of our dads might not have had a dad when they were being raised. So they're left with question marks. And being a man, it's real hard to ask those questions. So
very cool. And how long have y'all been doing this in the community?
Well, I've been doing it for 7 years, and Greg, you just made me look bad. You know, I'm the father. I have 5 wonderful children.
Wow.
And you know, just like Greg was sharing, you know, I didn't have the example. I didn't have the father, and I just deemed it necessary to learn, to be better, and to share my story, to help other men not go through what I went through or put their children through what I put mine through. But by God's grace and mercy, my children are well. I have 3 in college.
Wow. Same time.
Yeah, at the same time. Yes. So just trying to fill in those gaps and help men and guide them along the way and give them some pointers that they may not have had as children, growing up from their dads.
And we want to remind our callers that, you know, this is about you. We want to hear your stories ahead of Father's Day. You know, what did you appreciate about what your dad did when you were growing up? What did you learn from your dad that helped you be a better parent? Or if your dad wasn't around, how did that change things? Were you ready when you became a father? We want to hear from you, 210-614-8980. And we have Allison on the line. Allison, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. My story actually isn't about my dad. It's about my grandfather, even though my dad is absolutely wonderful. But my opa, as I called him, we were at our family ranch out in Kerrville, and he and I were planting a tree. And I had chosen a spot that I thought looked like a good one. But then he came over and told me to look up. And I realized that the spot I had chosen was in the shade of another tree. But what struck me with that is that my opa, even though he was in good health at the time, it was clearly at the towards the end of his life. And not only was he thinking about my generation, but he was even thinking about the generations that were going to come even long after he was going to be gone. And thinking just something so simple as where to plant a tree, but it just showed me that it's just the ripples that one good role model or father figure can have, not just for the immediate generations, but countless on.
Allison, thank you for that story. That's fantastic. And if anybody else would like to share stories of, yeah, it doesn't have to be a biological father, you know, that's great. But there are also, there's so many other situations, adoptive fathers, foster fathers, you know, people that have two dads all over the place. And we want to hear from y'all. Give us a call, 210-614-8980. Share your favorite story about your dad, what you learned from him. What not having a dad around meant to you. Who stepped up? Did you have a father figure in your life? Give us a call, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be back after this one-minute break. Welcome back to The Source. I'm Kim Johnson, and for David Martin Davies. Today, we're talking about fatherhood ahead of Father's Day this Sunday. How well a dad parents can strongly influence a child's psychological, cognitive, and social development. A father has major influence over his child's self-esteem, self-identity, individuality, self-worth. And we want to hear from you today. How did your dad contribute to who you are today? If you're a father now, how do you do things differently in raising your own kids? Or do you parent in a similar style as, you know, you were raised? How did you learn to be a good parent? And what are the toughest and most rewarding parts of being a dad? Our phone lines are open. If you have a question, comment, or story to tell, 210-614-8980. And we have Andrew on the line. Andrew, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I was calling just to kind of discuss some of the what we encounter here at Avanza San Antonio and the many initiatives that we've taken and kind of proactive approach we've taken with reaching fathers in the communities that we serve. So, and so one of the things that what we do is we offer services to fathers program because Avanza is we've been reputable nonprofit here for 45 years in the community, and we quickly realized how important it was to include fathers in that parenting component of what we do. So what we do is we offer a services to fathers parenting program. And what's unique about it is that we do include a two-generational approach to this program, where not only the parents are learning, fathers are learning different techniques of how to parent and maybe breaking the cycle of abuse or poverty or just being a father who's present and not absent. But we also work with the children, and so that the children are early on immersed into the world of a classroom setting.
Very cool. Andrew, thank you so much for calling and sharing that that story about your program. Again, that was Avance San Antonio. And I do want to get back to the different types of father figures that we encounter in modern fatherhood. There's, you know, being a father can mean many different things. More than 8% of families with kids that have a single dad at the head of the household. And you mentioned, Greg, that you're a single dad. How does being a single father change that parent-child dynamic?
I think it can be very rewarding because in our class, we talk a lot about that. You know, dads are, you know, our young men are really seeking out what does it mean to be a man, and having that male role model in our family units really kind of helped define that and gives them that image of what it's going to be. So as he becomes a young man in his teens, he understands what his word is and what it means to reject any form of abuse, how to take responsibility for actions, you know, and that he's a role model for other men, other teens, or other kids in our community, in our family, you know, so it's really powerful. I mean, if it's a single mom or a single dad, it's a lot of work. It's a whole lot of work, you know, but you know, one of the reasons that the Fatherhood Campaign came into existence 20, 25 years ago was, you know, a bunch of men got together and they said, we're doing a lot of work for moms, but what are we doing for dads? And the answer was very little. And then we went on and we said, well, what are we doing about our young men? Because those are the fathers of tomorrow. And the answer was very little. So, you know, the Fatherhood Campaign is part of the American Indians in Texas at the Spanish colonial mission. And part of that mission is bringing back some of these ancient teachings. Because, you know, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, it's a village raising a family. Hmm. Now we got mom. Maybe we got dad. If we're lucky, we got both mom and dad. We don't have that village anymore. That's a lot of responsibility to put on one or two people, let alone one person. So as a single father, I really rely on my circle of support to help.
I know that, you know, personally, I come from a divorced family and both my parents remarried. So then you have, you know, multiple dads going on. Dr. Bray, I know that you, some of your research focuses on step families. So I want to ask you, how can divorce, shared custody, and step families affect that relationship with your children and the fathers?
So first, I'm new to San Antonio, so it's really great to hear about all these programs that we have in San Antonio. One of the key things I think we have to think about, in addition to fathers stepping up and being active with their kids, is also we know from research is that fathers also must learn to work with their mothers, the mothers, and they need to get along together to co-parent the kids, because that produces the best kind of outcomes for children. So whether it's in a two-parent family where people are together and they're both biological parents, or whether that's a step family or a divorced family where you're dealing with kids going back and forth to multiple households, it's very important that the fathers also learn to work with the moms and support her in her role, so that the kids learn how to have good, positive relationships. Because that's one of the things that fathers do, is they model how to relate with women. And their boys learn that from them, and their daughters learn that from them. So if they're kind to their mothers, they're showing their daughters that they should select a kind person to mate with. The same thing for their sons. And that is true whether you're in a two-parent biological family or whether you're in a step family. The unique challenge about step families is that oftentimes there is conflict between divorced parents, and that puts tension on for the kids. And sometimes step-parents become, over time, the primary father figure for the kids. And that's shown to be positive for kids. They can learn also, when they have a really good stepfather, in addition to having a biological father, they can learn and develop and grow positively.
Let's take another call. Again, if you want to join our conversation, it's 210-614-8980. And Joelle is on the line. Joelle, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to call and let you guys know this is such a really cool topic. And I think it's really way rad that that there's a lot of, you know, single fathers out there or fathers who are taking on the responsibility of raising their children, you know, in a two-parent home. I was a single parent child, so, you know, my mother was very much my mother and father. And I'm in the very fortunate situation where my wife is actually our sole provider. She's an outstanding mother. She's single-handedly renovating our home, and I get to be with our child, you know, throughout the majority of the day, and she kind of takes over at night as well. So I just wanted to call to let people know that there's tons of resources out there. There's tons of places you can take your kids to, as a male role model for your kids. You're definitely not alone. Take them to the zoo, get a membership to the museum, put them in swimming class as just a safety precaution. There's tons of stuff that fathers can do out there. Go to the Y. There's tons of resources there too, the YMCA. It's just a message of positivity I wanted to send out to all my fellow stay-at-home and single dads out there. You're not alone. We're all out there, and I've gotten a really great positive response through our San Antonio community. It's kind of just a funny anecdote that, you know, I see somebody walking and nobody looks at a mom and says, "Oh, wow, she's such a great mom. You know, she's got a kid on, you know, a sling or whatever." But I think it's funny that when I walk around as a dad, you know, and I have my child in a sling, it's always like, wow, what a good dad.
That is interesting. Joelle, thank you so much for that call. We appreciate that. Martin, so I saw, again, reading some research that came out yesterday, that dads are just as likely as moms to say that parenting is extremely important to their identity. So right. How does fatherhood factor into a person's identity? How does it change you?
That's a very good question, and that's something that's really near and dear to me, which is why I advocate for dads to really be a part of their life, their children's lives. Because I just want to say that in today's society, if fathers don't give their children the positive affirmations and the love that they really need, they're going to get it from the streets. They're going to get it from the television, the radio, and we all know that that's not good. So a dad helping a child understand who they are, Greg mentioned just, you know, being there, being that positive role model, you know, showing our daughters who they should aspire, you know, to the man that they should look to get, you know, is somebody like me. I'm showing our boys what it's like to be responsible, what responsibility truly is very important. So for me, a dad being there helping shape a child's identity is important. Just something simple as teaching a child, your son, your daughter, the importance of being clean, taking out your trash. I showed my daughter how to change a tire, and I can tell you my daughter's in college, and she thanks me for showing her how to change a tire. So
my parents wouldn't let me drive until I learned how to change a tire.
There you go.
So when we think about dads wear many different hats, right? Mm-hmm. So I mean, I was just brainstorming a list myself, and I'm sure y'all could add to this. So I just want to go around the table, and what are some of the different kinds of roles that fathers play? What comes to mind immediately?
Nurturer.
Role model.
Disciplinarian.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with protector. Protector. What about you, Martin?
You know, he that was going to be my next one. Disciplinarian, though, seriously.
Yeah, and it's an important role that fathers have typically taken on, right? That's mm-hmm. usually been their... But also, I feel like it's disciplinarian and then also playmate, right?
Fun.
Yeah, the contrast fun. There is interesting. But then mom has typically gotten more of the routine tasks. So in sharing those things... How does that affect the relationship when you share all those things now?
I'm sorry, Dr. Bray. Go ahead.
No, sorry. So I think what's real important to think about in terms of playmate is the importance of fathers playing with their daughters. Mm-hmm. When I think back about my oldest daughter, I had her in co-ed sports. And she tells me as an adult now how much important it was for her to learn to play with the boys, because she can play with the boys now in the business world and she's not afraid, she's not intimidated. And dads can really take that upon themselves to help their daughters in that way, in addition to their sons as well.
Go ahead, Martin.
Very quickly, I just want to share this funny story. My son is 21 years old, and he recalls jumping up and down on the bed. And he always would say, you know, he would love to be with dad. We're great co-parents now, but he would always say he would love to be with dad because dad would allow him to jump on the bed, where mom was always, no, she was afraid. So helping shape a child's identity, dads help children be adventurous. You know, I mean, we help them discover, you know, and that's very important.
Also, I feel like moms have typically had the role of being the empathizer, the listener.
Right.
How important is it, Greg, for dads to be there just to listen and to be that comforting force?
Oh, I think it's critical. So one of the things that we talk a lot about in our program is the 120 rule. 20 minutes a day, we want you telling stories to your kids. And it's about opening communication. It's about connecting to, with our kids on a mind, body, and spirit kind of level. You know, because a lot of men, like, what do you mean tell stories to my dad or to my kids? You know, so, but it's not about us telling our stories, but it's about getting our kids to start telling us their stories. And how that changes. You know, so I want to hear what's going on in my 12-year-old daughter's life. And I hear and I learn through her stories. So my job as a dad is being a teacher, but also being a student and opening myself to that opportunity for my kids to teach me. And they teach me every day.
To encourage that back and forth, share more from your life, and they'll hopefully, until they become teenagers.
That's
right.
That's right.
Yeah.
So another one I have on my list is cheerleader. So being there to encourage your children to perform, doing things they enjoy, but also things that maybe they don't enjoy so much. And how often do you find yourself in that role, Martin?
You know, I was a student very early on with my children. My son, I'm African-American, so my son plays lacrosse, which was something that was unheard of in our community. And I had to learn the game, and I had to support. I had to be there. And I found myself, you know, liking and understanding, but I was a cheerleader for him. My son plays football. He plays football for Southwestern. But part of him playing football, I laughed, but he took ballet for his footwork. So I had to be a cheerleader. I had to encourage that. But it goes back to the jumping on the bed. My son said, Dad, thank you for allowing me to discover. Thank you for letting me know that it's okay to try new things.
Very cool. Again, this is The Source. We're talking today about fatherhood. There are different ways to be a dad. What's your fatherhood story? Has your parenting philosophy changed over time? How has your relationship with your child changed over the years? Give us a call. We want to hear your stories. 210-614-8980. We'll get to a couple of these callers after the break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be back after this two-minute break. Welcome back to The Source. I'm Kim Johnson, in for David Martin Davies. Studies emphasize the importance of not just parenting, but parenting well, not just being present, but legitimately caring and modeling good behavior. Father's Day is coming up this Sunday, and so today we're exploring the role of fathers in their child's life at all stages, from infancy to adulthood. What did you learn from your father that helped you be a better parent, or if dad wasn't around, how did that change things? Were you ready when you became a father, or did you have to learn on the job? Give us a call, 210-614-8980, and Stitch is on the line. Stitch, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you guys for taking my call. I am a stepfather and a father. My father passed away when I was 10 months old. Luckily, he got to hear me say daddy before he passed away in a truck accident. Being raised by your mother can be just as good as a father. My thing is I grew up around an abusive stepfather. This is what changed my mind about the way that I wanted to grow up. I wanted to grow up and I wanted to be a better man than that man. I wanted to be better. And it's nice to see that there's something out there for the single dads, because I have been a single dad before. And single dads don't typically get the respect that they deserve. And I find it kind of sad. But I guess that's my story, guys. It's nice to see that you guys are taking the time to pay attention to the fathers.
Stitch, thanks for your call. I appreciate that story. So let's talk about a little bit about fathers who are present but maybe not the best influence. What kind of effects can that have on a child, Dr. Bray?
So if any parent, father or mother, if they're not, if they're abusive towards their children, that can have really lifelong negative impact on kids. So the kind of abuse we're talking about could range from just verbal abuse to physical abuse to sexual abuse. And the more of it and the more often, the worse it is for kids. And those kids are at great risk for developing emotional behavioral problems, drug addiction, things like that. Fortunately, if you have a parent like that, but you have a parent who's not abusive, sometimes they can buffer the negative effects of a parent. So for a dad, if the mom's not real nice or she's difficult, if the dad fills in the positive way, they can buffer those kind of effects on the kids. When there's a divorce, that makes it harder because the children have to be with one parent alone all the time, and that buffering can't happen.
And Martin, you are with Fatherhood Matters, Inc. here in San Antonio. Part of the curriculum, as I understand it, that y'all do is you talk about fatherhood being a reason to renounce violence and, or, you know, maybe not even just violence, like other bad habits, bad things about your own personality that you recognize and you want to change. Tell me more about that.
Right, right. Well, with the work I do with the city of San Antonio as well as the nonprofit, I deal with a lot of high-risk, you know, quote-unquote high-risk individuals, individuals that have a propensity to commit violent acts, so on and so forth. And I can tell you that the effect it has on their children, it affects them in, I mean, from their schools, just their everyday personality, just when you speak to a child that comes from a home that has violence or that negative parent, you can just tell how reserved, how closed children are. And I just dealt with an individual right before school let out who his father was incarcerated, and he's seen his father go in and out of jail, and he's 9 years old. And right now, that's what he wants to do. He thinks that going to jail is okay. It's cool. He's quote-unquote earned his stripes. So unfortunately, on that part of the fatherhood spectrum, I deal with that a lot, of the negative effects that a bad father has on a child. And with our program, we try to work with those dads that come to us from CPS. We try to share with them other alternatives as opposed to hitting your children. And, you know, as Greg mentioned earlier, just teaching them other ways to parent. In hopes that they haven't, you know, had lifelong negative effects on their children.
Teaching appropriate discipline.
And
maybe they never had an example of what
that
looked like. So
because that's true. Some parents feel appropriate discipline is beating your children because they were hit across the head. So
let's talk a little bit about absent or disengaged fathers. There's multiple reasons. You just mentioned incarceration as one. I would feel that that would be a really hard thing for a child to understand, you know, where did my dad go, sort of
right.
thing. What sort of effects does an absent father have on a child's life, Dr. Bray?
So there's lots of ways to be absent, and how it gets constructed to the child matters. So, for example, sometimes you have dads who have jobs where they're gone a lot. So maybe they work offshore, or they're an executive and they have to work really long hours, or they're professional. And if when the dad is present, they're really present with the kid, that being absent is not quite so negative. And also if the mom explains to the child why the father's there. One of the most destructive things, though, that dads can do is make promises and not keep them. So, like, if, you know, the dad has busy work, or he decides he wants to go hunting rather than be with his kids, and he promises his kids, you know, well, I'm going to take you this, and then he changes his mind or just doesn't show, kids feel very disappointed. And what they learn from that is they can't trust what a parent says. And so what's really important is, you know, to be honest with them, keep your word with them, which I heard the gentleman in the studio talking about how important integrity and keeping your word is. And then also, it's important to explain to the kids what's going on. So We know, for example, that with immigrant families, sometimes a parent will leave the family, but they're sending money back and they're there to make the family's life better, and they stay in contact with them. And that continues to be a positive thing.
Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got a bunch of callers. This is Jeremy. Jeremy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I appreciate the show. We need more public interest shows. Hey, my story real quick. My dad, an addict, very common nowadays, sadly. But luckily, I had two grandfathers who were strong figures. And, you know, just having someone to show you what's important in life. I mean, just from them, I got the value of hard work, integrity, you know, giving your word. Value of delayed gratification, I feel like that was something I got from them. But commitment, it's okay to fail. These are the things that fathers, I mean, parents, period, but fathers seem to be more of the, you know, it's okay, dust yourself off and let's keep going. Just really, I have kids now, and, you know, I don't really have time to volunteer, do those kind of things, but I try to be a positive figure. When I see their friends at the school, I try to say hello to them. I try to learn their names, because you don't know every kid's story. And just being a positive male figure can make a difference in any kid's life, you know, just to see maybe there is an option. When I bring up my grandfathers, they were a contrast from everything that my father was doing wrong. I could see another way, and it led me to a better life.
Thank you, Jeremy. I really appreciate that call and you sharing your story with us. Let's go next to Kimberly. Kimberly, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. You touched on it earlier about changing a tire. Especially for daughters, I think fathers can teach life skills that they might not learn from mothers. My father taught me to check the oil in my car and make sure that the tires were inflated properly. He taught me how to fish. We used to fish a lot, and he actually taught me how to build. We built a barn together one time. That's not typically what girls learn, but it does build character. It helps you become more self-confident that you can try different things and maybe be good at them. And it helps girls look in a different direction, maybe becoming a scientist or something other than just a homemaker. So I think fathers are very important, especially in daughters' lives.
Kimberly, thank you so much for that call. I really appreciate it. Let's take one more call right now. This is Candace. Candace, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, you guys. I called real quick. I just wanted to shed some light on dads who marry into a woman who already has children where the father has not yet had children. I come from a blended family. My mom was married with two kids. When my brother and sister were 5 and 3, she got a divorce and moved back to San Antonio and met my father here while she was a single mother. My dad was 30-ish at the time and never had any children, was a bachelor his whole life. And they got married, they fell in love, all that good stuff. But my dad was raised, he lost his mother when he was 5. And he was raised by his dad. And this kind of piggybacks one of your previous callers who talked about the negative influence sometimes of a father figure. And his dad was very disciplined, for lack of a better term. And so when my dad married into my mother's family, he was terrified at what to do as a father. He didn't want to treat my brother and sister the way that he was treated. You know, he had a few hiccups where, you know, just like I'm sure everybody learns to be parents. But at the end of the day, I'm sure he would have loved to have had a support group and have known that there was this program that everybody is, that y'all are speaking about right now. He ended up becoming a wonderful man, but he had to learn quite a few lessons. And so I just wanted to bring light to the fathers that have to step into the shoes of dads that have left.
Candace, thank you so much for that call. That was a really great story. And let's go back to, I mean, there are resources here in San Antonio. We just have give me 30 seconds about why it's important for fathers to have peer support.
Well, I think it helps answer some questions that maybe we don't even know how to ask yet. But the other side of the coin is our community really is in need of mentors. That men that are step up and work with like teenage fathers or young men in high school or college and helping them guide them through this life, because they don't have that experience. They don't have any male role models in their lives.
This is The Source. We're talking today about fatherhood. Father's Day is on Sunday, and we really want to hear your stories. What was your father experience? Did you have a stepfather? Did you have two fathers? Did you have three fathers, father-in-laws, father figures? Give us a call, 210-614-8980. We want to hear what you learned from your dad or how you choose to raise your own children as a father. 210-614-8980. This is The Source. We'll be right back after this one-minute break. Welcome back to The Source. I'm Kim Johnson in for David Martin Davies. Father's Day is this Sunday, and we're talking about fatherhood today. What does a good dad look like to you? How are you celebrating your dad this weekend? Give us a call, 210-614-8980. And Jose is on the line. Jose, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I wanted to just provide my input as far as how I was affected without being raised with a father. Parents, of course, divorced since I was 2 years old, but I did have, I was actually counting them, about five father figures in the form of uncles. So they helped me out while I was, of course, growing up, teenager, and adulthood. But now, my wife and I talked about it, why don't you seem to be more affectionate to your own children as a father? And I said, well, you know what, I don't know, what could be the source? But I realized that it was because I didn't have that form of my own father figure. Yes, my uncles included me with their outings or whatnot, but that special touch, I guess it's what affected me. But now, as a father of my own, I work on that daily to make sure that I'm guiding them, that I'm helping them, that I'm, you know, able to talk to them openly and whatnot. So definitely it affects one as an adult now, but we have to, of course, work at it and provide for our own.
Jose, thank you so much for that call. I want to talk to Dr. Bray. He's the chair of the psychology department at UTSA. What does research show about how a child benefits from having a present and engaged father in their life?
So what research shows is that when dads are positively engaged with their kids, there's a couple things. So for boys, it shows them a positive role model, and it helps them develop good self-esteem. They're more likely to have good behavior, not abuse or use drugs, and to excel more in life in terms of school. For girls, it's also a positive role model. And what girls really learn is relationships. So the modeling that occurs between fathers and their daughters, the girls learn about, well, this is how you relate to boys or the opposite sex as you grow older. And then they also can learn, you know, how to deal with other boys and other men by watching their fathers, and they can be coached in that kind of way. The caller pointed out something that I would really like to emphasize, and that is that whatever we grow up with in life is our normal. If that's abuse, our normal is abuse. If our normal is really high-quality parenting, that's our normal. But what the callers and our people have pointed out is that you can make a decision and change that with some help.
So are children more likely to follow in their father's footsteps or do the opposite? They mimic that behavior or they try to avoid it completely and do a 180?
So most of the time kids follow in the parents' footsteps or their father's footsteps. However, sometimes you get kids, particularly when they feel like they're being over-controlled by a parent, and they go in the opposite direction. You get examples like where you have somebody who's a judge, community person, and they end up with a child who gets involved in drugs and crime. That's an example of that. And oftentimes, if you talk to those kids, they felt over-controlled, and the only way they can figure out who they are is to be the opposite of what their parent is.
Interesting. Let's go to another call. This is Patrick. Patrick, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Well, I'm the program director for Compadre Compadre, our fatherhood services from the children's shelter. We've been in existence since 2009, and we've served over 7,000 fathers. About 121 fathers come on a weekly basis to take parenting courses with us. And we deal with dads having to do parenting classes, co-parenting. Everything else is included in our nurturing fathers curriculum. That's what we use. And so not only do we provide parenting classes, but we're also serving our dads through our mental health services. We're trying to, through our trauma-informed model, we are trying to help them and whatever trauma they might have. And through our mental health services, we're also meeting those needs to our fathers. We have facilities that we're able to care for our dads and help them reach those milestones.
Patrick, I want to ask you real quick, do you find these dads or do they find you?
Well, let me tell you, 85% to 90% are court mandated into our program. That means that the judicial system mandates and DFPS mandates these men to our program. Our program's had a lot of success through the years, and we've had a lot of great relationships with the judges and DFPS, and they've seen a lot of great changes in the men. So for the most part, they find us. We try to go and do outreaches at different places, but for the most part, these men come directly to us.
Patrick, thank you so much. Again, that program is Compadre y Compadre at the Children's Shelter. I want to ask Martin and Greg the same question. Do you do outreach? How much of the, how many of the fathers come to you versus you go to them?
For me, it's a healthy mix because I do violence prevention work through the city, so I actually run into a lot of men, a lot of fathers that way. But also, I work with CPS, so a lot of CPS agents, they know about the program and the work that we've done throughout the years, so they'll refer dads as well. Word of mouth and outreach, so it's a healthy mix for our organization.
What about you, Greg?
Amazing statistic, about 40% of our clients come because of family or friend referrals. So it's a lot of the community knowing that we're there and we're there to help. I mean, some of the times, you know, dads come into our office, they're just looking for an answer to a question, like, you know, about child visitation or child support. You know, some of them are just saying, hey, you know what? My dad was this way and I don't want to be that way. And I want something different. Because nothing changes until something changes. I'm going to change.
In your programs, do you do a mix of, I mean, from the very basic, let's talk about changing diapers, let's talk about how to feed or recognize illness in my child, and then also that mental health support, the emotional support, and teaching men how to open up to their children?
Yes, exactly. All the way from Dr. Bray touched on something that I really work with dads with, and that's being able to get along, co-parent with mom, being able to respect mom.
Yeah.
And if the dad isn't living in the same home as his child, does that change the process of preparing for and learning to be a good father, Greg?
I think it's a dynamic that we need to take in consideration. One of the things that we really focus on in our program is as a dad, how do you teach your kids how to heal? Because we're going to face some trauma. You know, like that 16-year-old guy who goes to the school dance and he walks up to that pretty girl and she says, no, I don't want to dance right now, and he's devastated. How do you process that? And dad's being there to help our kids emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, and being able to do that. You know, the guys that have that honor on the weekends, you know, I think it's more intense, but they need to have that plan.
Dr. Bray, Martin touched on this earlier about how, you know, kids learn from watching their parents and how that could affect relationships. What can dads do to prepare their sons to be good fathers and good husbands?
So several things that they've already pointed out. So one is you need to understand that kids learn more by what they see than what they're told. So the modeling of what happens day in and day out has a bigger impact than telling kids you ought to be this way or be that way. So it's important that, you know, dads remember that when they're making decisions about how to treat their kids and their sons. But also talking to them. The older they get, the more they can reason and ration. And when kids hit adolescence, talking to them about why you make parenting decisions and helping them understand why you make decisions helps them learn how to think through things. And helping them and being supportive when they make their own decisions, and if they don't make a good decision, helping them figure out why it wasn't a good decision and helping them overcome it, like was pointed out, is also a critical parenting factor.
Very cool. Let's take one more call. This is Paul. Thanks, Paul. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. First of all, I'd like to say thank you, folks. This is incredible dialogue. I think that we have seen the devastations of what happens when we have not applied ourselves as fathers. It becomes generational. Grandpa went to prison, dad went to prison, now it's my turn. And unfortunately, there's those those they're thinking out there. I've been in corrections now for 20 years, and as a father, I hope that I leave a different legacy. I hope that I'm able to let my own kids see that I can be that proper role model. But at the same time, nobody's perfect. We all been there. Some of us have gone through infidelity. We've seen that in our families. We've seen those devastations. I think sometimes we have to sometimes make amends with our own kids. Hey, son, I'm sorry. Mom, I'm sorry for not being there for you at the time that you needed me. And that's basically what I wanted to share.
Thank you, Paul, for calling us today. So we only have a few minutes left, but I want to go around the table. If you could give dads one piece of advice, one major takeaway, what would it be, Martin?
Being there, be present. Nobody's perfect. There are resources, there are people out here to help, but be there. That's the best piece of advice. Just show up.
Greg?
Be proud. If you're there or not there, you're going to play a very important role in that child's development. So be there. Engage. Talk to them. Share your story. Get them to share their story back. You know, it's critical that, you know, this concept of fatherless home being socially acceptable, we need to change that and change it today.
Dr. Bray?
So in addition to being there, I think it's also important that fathers keep their word to their kids. So they keep their word by modeling it with their behavior, and they keep their word by when they say they're going to do something, they do it. And also providing love and support for their kids. Those are critical factors.
Thank you all. I want to thank you all for joining us today. I really enjoyed this, and I wish we had more time. But today in the studio, we've had Martin Henderson, Executive Director of Fatherhood Matters, Inc., Greg Marshall, Program Manager for the San Antonio Fatherhood Campaign, and also James Bray, Chair of the Psychology Department at the University of Texas at San Antonio. He also has a clinical practice that focuses on families. And we really appreciate everybody who called in and shared their stories today. I'm sorry we couldn't get to more of them. And also, I wanted to mention that we will have links to both of the organizations that we had people representing today on our website, tpr.org. You can get more information about their programs and their contact information. I'm Kim Johnson. I've been sitting in for David Martin Davies and really enjoying it. Thanks for tuning us in. This is The Source on TPR.